Hi. I literally pressed the button to start it and I was coughing midway, so I'm genuinely so very sorry about that. But that was embarrassing. Welcome everybody. What's up? Hello. Welcome to the One Last Episode show where we talk about all things Asian dramas. Not real dramas, just TV show dramas. My name is Myra, and today's episode we will be talking about one of my absolute favorite dramas of this year. Dolly and the Cocky Prince. I'm so ready for this one. But before we continue, please don't forget to subscribe and continue listening to us on all podcast radio platforms that you can listen to, and support us by giving us a base rating ever with some positive feedbacks, subscribing so that way we can get noticed more, and comment. Also, please follow us on social media and send us some other drama comments or messages or relating to drama so we can continue with this show. I'm excited for this one, so let's go. All right, hi, hello. How is everybody doing today? Any tea? Any nice cup of tea that you have for me in store? No, I got nothing for y'all. I've just been working. I'm in the last couple of weeks of school, so like I had a pre-exam for one of my classes this week, so I literally did not have time to watch any dramas really. And I'll be I'll be kind of going through lots of work this couple of weeks because of school, so it's gonna be kind of hard. But you know, the holidays are coming. I'm freaking out because don't know what to get for people, but we're gonna see, you know, it's happening. So I don't really have anything that I have. Oh, okay. Well, I'll probably be talking about it more, but I need some of y'all's help because I want to go see Monsta X on tour very, very, very badly. But none of my friends are able to attend, or some of them don't know of Monsta X. So I don't want to push them into something that they don't want. So I'm in this dilemma of whether or not I should go by myself, or at least ask another Moonbebe out there to come with me. I don't like the idea of traveling alone because as a woman, I'm terrified. I'm kind of on the smaller body portion, so I feel like I could easily get thrown over the shoulder and die. I've watched too much crime stuff. I'll be honest with y'all. I have. And I just get scared. I really do. But at the same time, I want to take that leap and just do it. I feel like if I was doing internationally, I would feel a little bit different. I don't know why, but for now, that's the plan. I want to go. I feel like the Colorado one, is it Colorado one? I think it was a Colorado one. That's the one that I want to try going to. It's a little bit closer to home. I've never been to Colorado on a stay. I've passed through a couple times, but I've never actually been to visit. And the venue out there is a lot more affordable. I want to go bougie. I don't know. Like, can I afford it? Probably not. But I'm still gonna do it because I don't know when I'll be able to see Monsta X again. And the other thing is, I don't know when I'll be able to see. Let me rephrase that. If I'll ever see them as a six as a whole, you know, I may see them as you know, they're always going to be seven members, but you know, unfortunately with all that stupid shit that happened, that girl, good thing she's going to prison. I don't know, I just, even though right now it's only five members because one of them is on his military leave, I don't know what's gonna happen, so y'all help me out here. I'm genuinely in this dilemma whether or not I should go by myself. I've looked into it. It's a little bit more out of my price range, but it's not like I'm never going to do this ever again. Probably not, given how I'm a chicken and everything. I don't know if I'll ever be able to, but we'll see. I really want to go see them. They're like my Shiny of the third generation. Yeah, they're third generation. Like, I got to go see Shiny, and I went to go myself. Like, the concert aspect of it, I don't mind. Like, I don't mind going by myself to the concert. It's the traveling portion. When I went to go see Shiny, I was with a friend who lived in California. So I had a place to stay. I had a ride. We were doing things. Like, I had people to be around versus going to Colorado, I don't. Or going to anywhere in the East Coast, I don't. So Scared. But we'll see. We will see. For now, that's sort of my dilemma. Any moon bebes out there, if you're listening, holla. If you live in the Utah area. Or if you want to go but don't know who with or where to go. Maybe Colorado, if you're down. It's on a Monday. But, you know, I don't mind missing work for 2 days. I don't. Maybe three. Who knows? We'll see. But that's the only tea that I got for you. Nothing else. So yeah, I hope that I can give you a better answer in the next couple of weeks, whether or not that happens. So for now, let's go. I'm ready for this drama episode because we're going to be talking about one of my absolute favorite dramas that aired this year as a romantic one, because it was really romantic. So let's get started. Okay. If you're a drama lover like me, please tell me you saw this drama. If you haven't, shame on you. Just kidding. No. I'm kidding. But I feel like this drama deserves more hype. This is by far one of my absolute favorite loving dramas, romantic ones specifically, because it's just so cute and I feel like it deserves more hype. So again, it's called Dali and Cocky Prince, Tari Kamjatang, Tariwa Kamjatang. And it is a 16 episode drama that airs on Viki. And it was airing from September 22 to November 11th of this year. And initial runtime was from Wednesday and Thursday for an hour long, but now you can binge watch all if you like. It just recently finished. And the genre is definitely a romantic comedy with a little bit of melodrama in there. So, I really just love this drama so much. I feel like it deserves more. TV network is KBS2, I believe. There may be a place where you can watch it on there if KBS2 has like a TV streaming platform. But yeah, so let's do the synopsis real quick. We got Jing Moon Hak is the second son from a family that runs the global restaurant franchise for Don Don F&B. The company started from a Kamjatang pork bone stew restaurant. He likes education, but he has an excellent ability to make money. Meanwhile, Kim Dali is a visiting researcher of an art gallery. She is the only child of a prestigious family. Kim Dali can speak 7 languages. 7 different languages. And she has a good personality, but she's not very good at doing household chores like cooking. Jin Moon-hak and Kim Dali happen to meet without knowing each other's backgrounds, and they develop good feelings for each other. Due to an art gallery that is going bankrupt, they meet again as the son of a rich and uneducated family and the daughter of a prestigious family. This one, it's not. I thought it was like a anime or a webtoon, but it's not. So it's kind of sad because I can see that being one of those. So yeah, okay. Let's talk about the casts real quick. So we got Kim Min Jae, who is Jin Moon Hak. Kim Min Jae is a very well-known actor. Well, most recently that he's been in is Do You Like Brahms, Dr. Romantic 2, Tempted, that's one of the ones that I know of, Dr. Romantic 1, and The Producer is one of the ones that I kind of heard him from. But I first saw him in... Oh, no, sorry, not The Producer, Hit the Top. That's where he was really, like, getting a lot more hype. I first really, really saw him in Tempted. I knew of him from Hit the Top, but I first saw him in Tempted. So he's a really good actor, like, genuinely good actor. He is a really good dancer, as you all know. If you didn't know, he was also an Idol trainee. So he can rap and he can sing. He can semi-sing. It's like a sing rap. It's really good. And he can dance, so... He's a really talented person, by the way, just saying. And we got our female lead, Park Kyung-young. She is Kim Dali. Some of the dramas that she's been in most recently, most notably known for, is It's Okay Not to Be Okay, Sweet Home, The Devil's Judge. I've seen her in a lot of dramas, even though I haven't seen her in it. That's so funny. Like, Bring It On Go, Solomon's Perjury, I've heard of that one. Suspicious Partner, School of Magic, I've heard of that one. Rain and Shine, Queen of Mystery. Oh my god, she's been in a lot of dramas that I've seen. So that's pretty fantastic. She's so gorgeous, by the way. Like, I'm not gonna lie, I kind of hated her from It's Okay Not to Be Okay. She basically portrayed that character so well. Just saying. Then we got another male lead. I feel like second male lead. Kwon Yul. He plays the character Jang Tae-jin. Some of the other dramas that he's been in is all of the voice dramas, it looks like it. Voice 2, Voice 3, and Voice 4, I think. Another one is The King Eternal Monarch, The Cursed, Bring It On Ghost. That's where I'm familiar with him of. Angel's Revenge. Yeah. So that's another one. Another second lead, we got Hwan Hee. I love him, by the way. He's so funny. Some of the dramas that he's been, he hasn't been in a lot, but some of the ones that we pretty much would know him more of would be like The Tale of the Ninth Tale, Tale of the Ninth Tailed, Love Struck City. He was only there for one episode though, so never mind. Arthdal Chronicles, Tomorrow with You, and of course, you know, Dolly and the Cocky Prince. We got an idol second lead actress who is from Momoland. Oh, she was a former member of Momoland. Her name is Yeon Woo. And some of the dramas that she's been is Tempted, Live On, Alice, and Cheat On Me If You Can. So, yeah. Oh, I exited out of it. So that's what I got so far. I would do more, but I feel like they are the main, like, key characters of this drama. So, I got two. I forgot about them. Hwang Bora. If you haven't heard of Hwang Bora, you are missing out. She was the secretary, Yo Miri, and she's hilarious. Some of the dramas that she's been in, I've seen her in a lot. If you haven't heard of her, you're missing out, like I said before. But some of the dramas that I've seen her in a lot, actually. So, like, I don't want to tip up. Okay, so some of the dramas that I've seen her in is Vagabond, Touch Your Heart, My Strange Hero, What's Wrong with Secretary Kim, Bite My Way, that's all I've seen her in, it looks like it. But she's in a lot of drama. She's so funny, and she's a secretary, and she's gorgeous, and she's just, ugh. She deserves so much more love. I think she does get a lot of love. And then the other one is Lee Dae-yeon. He plays Jin Ki-tol. He's the stepbrother. Some of the dramas that he's been in is Cheat On Me If You Can, Angel's Last Mission, Love, The Fiery Priest, and My Sassy Girl. Well, that's just some of the few that I'm familiar with. But yeah, so that's just one of the two characters that I wanted to add on this drama because I felt like they were also very important, even though there's other characters, but by far I feel like these are key characters of this drama. So let's go with my review and what I think of this drama, which you guys already heard of me constantly saying how much I love it. Okay, like, you guys already know how much I love this drama. I've been talking about it so much that I haven't actually stopped talking about it. But let's get onto my perspective here. First and foremost, the main actress, Park Kyung-young, who plays Kim Dali. She can speak English so beautifully. Her voice is so calm, so sophisticated, so soft, and oh my god, like, the first scene where they meet at the airport, which is a scene that is literally on social media, so I'm not giving any spoilers. She, like, the way that he looks at her, like, he sees as if, like, the angels have fallen and are now, you know, giving him light to what life is after seeing her. Like, it was the most amazing thing ever. And the way that she's dressed, she's so graceful. Now, I started following her on social media, and she's a ballerina, or at least she may have had some ballet training when she was younger, and she still does it for fun. I can see why she has that gracefulness to her body, the way that she stands, the way that she holds herself, very poised, very elegant. And I'm just like, this bitch, I want to be just like her, because she's so pretty, like, so fair. It just, everything about this character and how this actress portrayed the character, she did such a good job. And I was just like, the whole time envious of her, I'm not gonna lie. She was just so gorgeous. And so I think that's why I loved it. And a lot of people were freaking out when she was speaking English, because the way that she held herself confidently, like, it was just so good. Like, I literally was like, how the hell does she know English so well? Like, how? So I love her. Like, she's just very good at playing this character. And so it was just, I literally wrote it down twice, how graceful she is and how elegant and how soft with her voice. She's very mature. So it was a very different character, female character, that I was used to seeing in dramas in general. And then we have Mutak. He's a freaking airhead. He's so funny, though. Like, he's so, like, witty. It's so just adorable. And when you think about it, you have her. She's incredibly smart. She's intelligent, very prestigious, like, student who really did. She like, is very educated, and she's proud of it. Then we have Mutak, who's not but he's very business oriented. Like, he knows about how it works. He knows how money works. And so, and he's kind of an airhead. He's kind of a, not an airhead, more like a ditz. He's very humble, though. He's very humble for how he had to fight for, how he had to live by to get where he is now. And so you see these two very different people. Like, I feel like she's very much of an introvert, and he's very much an extrovert. She's very, like, very, just very soft, very spoken, very, how are you doing, very graceful. When she handles the situations, she's very, very mature about it. She's not aggressive. She's not impulsive. She kind of plans things out, and things come out pretty, pretty easily. So there's, and I was going to explain the situation, but yeah, I'll explain that before I go to Mutak. But like, the situation where our gallery unfortunately was bankrupt, and I guess, like, quote unquote loan sharks were there to basically get the money or give us the gallery. And so she kind of goes in, everybody's freaking out because these loan sharks are big men with tattoos all over them. In reality, they're not, they're just Mutak's cooking staff. So they're not real loan sharks, but they look like it, like gangsters. And so she comes in and she's like unafraid. Like, she is very, I don't want to say quiet, but she's very, like, she I don't know how to explain it. Like, she approaches things without the fear of who they are. Like, it's almost like she kind of sees them in the, I don't care who you are, what level of authority you have, where you come from, we are equals at this very moment. We are respectful for each other, and unless you have something to say wrongly, you get the hell out, type of thing, if that makes any sense. Like, when she walks into the lobby area of the gallery, her staff is standing behind her, freaking out, cowering, like, they're almost cowards of the situation, versus she walks in, shoulders high, head held high, shoulders up, head held high, is what I mean. Shoulders back, oh my god, shoulders back, head held high, and she's just graceful about it. She's like, can I help you all? What do I need? And then, like, you know, they're telling her, we need the money. She's like, well, right, well, you guys walked into my gallery and you guys didn't pay for it, so you guys can't leave until paying for it. Please follow you along to the admission booth, and they will charge you there. And it's like, she just, it's like she just doesn't care who you are. It's like, we are both equals, and that's kind of how I felt, like, how I saw it. So she's very mature about it, basically. And then we have Mutak. He's impulsive. But he's very caring, very, very, very caring. He very expressful, very loud, very quote unquote mean. So he goes in because not realizing that the gallery is, you know, he is under his care. They took the money from him. He's not to go. He's ready to now request for that money, right? So he goes in and he's like, where's my money type of thing, right? And but he kind of goes in with the idea of we're going to go as loan sharks so that way people will freak out. There he is. He got fake tattoo all over his chest, by the way. It's funny as hell. And he's on the ground, as most loan sharks would probably do, and, like, basically making a big-ass, like, ruckus over money, which is a lot of money, will I say. And, you know, he's kind of like, give me my money. I need to talk to the owner, blah, 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 blah. And here comes Kim Daly. You know, he is thrown on the ground using tactics that are quite wrong, versus she comes in kind of like, I'm not gonna fall under your, you know, your stupid plan of acting like you're loan sharks. And so kind of from there on, all of her team, before they find out who he is, they're scared of him. They think he's a gangster. They think that he's this bad guy. And she's just like, he's not. Like, she just kind of easily talks to him. She's not afraid to be in the same room because he's not a gang. Like, he's not in the gang. He's a businessman using tactics that are wrong. And so, again, impulsive, immature, but I feel like he acts that way maybe for the lack of education set on the synopsis, but I feel like a lot has to do with the fact that he's had to live differently to how Dali had to live. She lived prestigiously. You know, he lived working from a young age to now, working from like 9 years old. So like he barely had enough to go to school, like time to go to school, because he had to work for it, you know? And so it was just sort of like a very different personality. And what I love most is there's a scene towards the end. And it's also a sneak peek on social media. So I'm not really spoiling anything. Unless you do hate spoilers, then I wouldn't listen to this segment, this part here. So we basically have already, you know, they've already created a relationship. And they're with her best friend, who is Joon Tak. And, oh, by the way, I'm going to quickly have to say, he's already basically infatuated by her. Like, infatuated. The moment that he met her, he's infatuated with her. He wants to do anything in her power to find her. And when he does, he wants to be next to her at all times. But once they've already managed that relationship, she's very worried because she's not really, I think she wants to hide who they are. Because their relationship, when they started, is like creditor. And the debtor. The one who owes debt. There we go. That's her idea. Like, that's was always the assumption. But, you know, eventually, you know, he kind of professed his love for her, and eventually things develop. But before that, he's already basically in love with her, right? So there's this part where she talks about her friend who is Yoo Won Tak, and she's like, Uri Won Tak, like, my, it's referencing like our friend Won Tak, but like it's hard to explain in like the Korean to like English translation, but it's like It's referencing, I don't know how to explain it. So Uri is more of like ours, we type of thing. Ours is mainly what she was referencing. But that's kind of how they kind of mention a person. Uri Won Tak, like blah, 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 blah. And so it's like, it's just saying, oh, my friend Won Tak, kind of like, that's what she's kind of trying to insinuate. And so Kim Min-jae's character, Moon-hak, he's like, oh, not Moon-tak, sorry, Moon-hak. He's just always like, Uri Won Tak. And he's like, Uri Won Tak. Like, he's just like, why are you talking about our Won Tak? Why is this always our Won Tak? Like, he's pissed. Like, he's jealous. And he's jealous of this guy, not realizing that Won Tak is just her best friend. So it's just funny how he, like, how Moon-hak, sorry, I thought it was Won Tak, but it's Won Tak. How he just he was jealous, and it's just so funny his reaction. But anyways, where was I going? Okay, going back to when they've already defined the relationship, whatever. They're having dinner. Again, this is already a scene that's been on, you know, it's a trailer, so it's not a spoiler unless you want it to be. They're having dinner with Woon-tak, and Woon-tak and Woo-hak are fighting, and Dali's like, ah, we're dating, you know, kind of like, you know, just stop fighting. And her friend, Uri Woon-tak, he's just like, you guys are dating. Like, this is unacceptable. And she was like, well, I didn't want to say anything before until after all the situation is done. And he's like, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the fact that you both are completely different people. He's, I guess, kind of saying, like, he's flamboyant. He's very not a Kim Dali guy. And so she's like, well, we connect with each other. And I guess in some ways, like, that saying of the opposites attract, that's kind of how it is. Like, I just see her as being this introverted person versus he's an extrovert. And so, like, it just worked out so very well. So, and then the chemistry, they have really good chemistry. I didn't see any behind the scenes for this drama, but the chemistry within the drama was so brilliant. And I fell in love with it. And I was just like, this drama, oh, I love it. Oh. The love triangle for this drama. So, okay. So there is love triangles with this one, but it was definitely a different perspective. So with Woo-hak, there is Yeon-woo's character An Tak-hee, who is basically, I don't want to say in love with him, but she kind of had this idea that they were going to end up together, you know. But she, at first she was in denial. She's like, no, we're not going to end up together. And no, we're not. And then eventually they like, she's like, okay, you know what? I have feelings for him. Once she starts seeing him in love with somebody else. And it's like, I like that she wasn't pining for him excessively, as other dramas second lead women do. Like, for instance, it was only like one episode where she, like, you know, something happens to her personally by her father, and he goes in and he tells him, you know, I need a place to stay, without telling him specifically what had happened. And so eventually, like, you know, she's fighting with Kim Dali because, you know, they were gonna, you know, have time together, but she comes in and ruins everything. And Kim Dali's like, no, you're not gonna do this. But eventually she kind of protects her. Like, they kind of gain a very acquaintance-like friendship versus like friends. But even then, like, it's a more mature love and like second love interest. I don't know, like, it was just wasn't as pining as I expected it to be, which I loved. That's what I like. There's no pining. Then there's Jang Tae-jin. He had a very evil approach to things, though, you know, and he had a secret with what happened, you know. Like, with him, it wasn't, like, he wanted her back. Like, he always wanted her. But I hope this is not a spoiler. Maybe this is a spoiler. But she's adopted. She's adopted. And so, in the beginning, we see why. Like, he tells her he doesn't want to get married with her, blah, 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 blah. And then we don't know what's going on until, like, the very last couple of episodes where we finally get a scene and he's like, be born again, but be born as his real daughter. Ooh, that irked me. That irked me so fucking bad. I was ready to beat the shit out of him through the TV, through the computer. But seriously, when he said that, I was upset, because it's like, it sucks that to this day, it's still viewed as such a bad thing. It's the children, it's not their fault. Being taken to an orphanage, it's not their fault for being adopted, like, being who they are. Unfortunately, that's what their life had to be, you know? And it's so frowned upon, and it's so sad. And so, you know, he says that, and then her secret's out, you know, or you know, he's being an ass, and he's like, you know what, like, we don't have to tell anybody, I still love you, I want to be with you, blah, 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 blah. But he has more, he has, like, very dark intentions. From the beginning, I knew this guy was bad. I knew he was bad. And so he's, like, obsessed, but also, at one point, he's, like, it's almost like the reason why he wants to be with her is because something bad happened. I won't say more, but something bad happened where he is to blame, and he will do any means necessary to get her so that way he won't get blamed for it, type of thing. That's how I feel. So it just was like, I don't know, like, there's difference between pining and then this sort of like a revenge, but in a different way. Like, it's just very dark. And so I liked the fact that it wasn't the pining type of love. Like, this was just like disgusting, but like not disgusting. It was just dark. And I feel like it was a different side to every single like love triangle situation. And I want to point out another thing, two more things before we end this, but Juan He, who it plays Won Tok, typically in a lot of dramas, a character like him, he's the best friend of the female lead. A character like him always has feelings for the female lead, or always has had this one-sided love for her from the beginning, right? And I genuinely thought that was going to happen. I genuinely thought that there was going to be a square romantic drama, whatever, quadruple, whatever. I was genuinely afraid that that was going to happen. I thought that he was going to be a part of that love triangle. And come to find out, he wasn't. Come to find out that even though he grew up with her, even though they've known each other for over 10 years, he was more of a brother than he was anything else. Literally, he was a brother. And I love the chemistry between Park Kyung-young and Hwang Hee, who was Kim Dali and Do Won Tok, because their chemistry was very much brother-sister relationship from the beginning. And it was so lovely to see that, because for the most part, I know that many people say that females, men and women, can't be friends, but I feel like they can be, depending on how they have had to live. Like, I feel like Kim Dali and Do Won Tok were very much in the same situation, but there was never any feelings of the sort. So I've noticed from beginning to end, like, I felt like there was always that brother-sister relationship. Always, always, always. So, like, how he was very protective of her when Mo Hak was, like, there and, like, just wanting to be with her, and he's like, you better not fucking touch her, that's my sister, type of thing. So it was just a different chemistry, and I really like that a lot. And I don't see that in a lot of dramas. Like, in many dramas, like, for instance, there's this one drama that my mom was watching, I won't announce it, but this male lead, he is very loved and everything, but he's always had that one-sided love. And it's like, if there wasn't that one-sided love relationship, I think I would have loved the drama even more. So, like, it's just, I feel like there's that stigma of the friend always having that one-sided love for her, or the opposite, and like they kind of pine over it a little bit, and I hate that. Versus this one, it was completely different. It was literally just equal care for each other as brother and sister. So I really appreciated that more than anything. And so it was different from what I'm used to seeing in dramas. So I think that's another reason why I fell in love with this more than anything, was that the best friend wasn't pining over her. The best friend was literally a brother more than anything. So, and then the last little bit before we end this, there's a part where, you know, she's telling him, this is right before they've declared full on their love. She's telling, Kim Dali is telling Jin Mu Hak that, you know, you found out I'm adopted. And he's like, I don't care. He's like, I have a stepmother and a stepbrother. You don't see me complaining over it, you know? He was like, he said something, oh my god, there was a scene where doesn't matter who you are, or it's more like it doesn't matter where you come from, it's who you are that becomes the person that you are, or you become the person that you are from how you were raised or came, had to live, like, you know, like her being adopted. You know, she found her happiness and she found a father that took care of her so kindly, and he was a father to her no matter what. Then we have Duwontok, who was basically an orphan as well, but was raised as her brother, was raised by her father, because he, you know, he may not have had his parents with him, but he had somebody to take care of him, and he became the best person ever. He became a cop, but he became a very good person. And then we have Yoon-woo, who is An Tae-ki, right? She has her family, and yet she gets treated the worst. She has her father, she has her mother, but they treat her like trash. But she still became the person that she is because, you know, that doesn't define who she is. That doesn't define the person that she'll become with how she's had to be raised. And then there's Moon-hak. His mother died at a very young age. He had to work at like 9, 10 years old to survive. And unfortunately, his dad wasn't really there to be a father. He was just there to take care of business as he fell in love with someone else. And then we have his stepbrother, Lee Ji-yeon, who has a dad, has a mom, but made the decision to change his last name and become a Jin, which is Mohawk's last name, because he wanted to have a different life. So it's like, we all have different lives, we all are raised differently, and we all want something differently. That doesn't mean that we're going to be, that doesn't mean that how we are raised defines the person that we become. You know, like, just because you're adopted doesn't mean that you're a bad person. You're so much better than good. You're too good, too kind, too trustworthy, and you shouldn't feel ashamed of where you come from. And I mean, obviously, he didn't really necessarily say those things, but that's kind of how I understood it. And honest to God, that was probably the most deep, meaningful things I've seen in this drama thus far. Like, there's so many moments in every drama that I've seen that really hit home. And this one really hit home in a way where it's like, it doesn't matter where you come, how you're raised, or who or you're raised by. It's the person that you become. You know, that's what it is. It's like, it doesn't matter who you're raised by. It's the person that you become. It defines the person that you become, and it's, you can't let others' judgment define you. You can't be shameful for the things that you, for the person that you've become. So at the end of the day, I really like that he, in comparison to her previous relationship with Jang Tae-jin, they're completely different. Moon-hak is very understanding, because he's well off. He's got a business, versus Tae-jin, because he's basically the new heir of a company that's worth billions of dollars. He felt like marrying her was bad because she's adopted. Like, no, bruh. No. Like, Moon-hak from the beginning, I knew he was going to be, like, hilariously perfect. And, I mean, I want to say perfect, but he would do anything for his girl. And what girl would not want that? Like, I swear, like, dramas are literally lowering all the, what is it? I see this a lot on dramas, but, or on TikTok, but it's like, this is the reason why I find it so hard to fall in love with, because men like this in dramas don't exist. And it's like, you don't realize that a lot of those characters are written by women. Therefore, that's the kind of men that we want, but we will never get. We get men like Tae-jin instead of Moon-hak. Black. Oh, this drama. Oh my gosh. What else do I have? I think that's all I have for y'all. I don't have anything negative to say, honestly. Like, this drama, I think the negative part has to be how there's really evil people out there that, because you're adopted or because you're an orphan, you're a bad person immediately. But it's not true, and I hate how judgmental people are. So I just have to say that y'all have to watch this drama. This drama is so wonderful. it's worth it. I genuinely give it a 10 out of 10. There hasn't been a lot of dramas this year that has hit me like this one. Because it's a romantic comedy, that's the type of dramas that I live for. So I hope that y'all give it the love that it deserves. And you know, I'm in a way, I'm kind of glad it didn't get too hyped. In a way, that's like 1% of me. In a way, because then I felt like I would have been, like, I would have fallen off that bandwagon. Because y'all already know, I don't like to follow the bandwagon of things. I like to do my own thing. And this one was one of those dramas. And yeah, I wish that it could have gotten more hyped. But at the same time, I kind of like that it was just more, like, for me type of thing. But yeah. Oh, it kind of reminds me of Her Private Life with Park Min Young. It has that essence because they work in a gallery. We got the couriers and stuff, but curators. But it's definitely a different feeling. So yeah. That's all I got. Actually, yeah, they have the adopting, how she's kind of adopted, how he's adopted in the drama, in the other drama, Her Private Life. So yeah, I can kind of see that. So I think this is a very good drama to watch. If you liked Her Private Life, you have to watch this one then for sure. It's funny too. And it's funny because, like, instead of the female lead being the funny character, it's it's the male lead in this one. So worth the watch. Worth it. Okay, I'm stopping because I won't stop raving how good it is. I won't. But I think that's it for me. I hope that you enjoyed today's episode. This drama, again, I really hope that you all watch it. Binge watch it. You guys deserve that much if you want something romantic. I think this would be a good drama for, like, winter, maybe like a Christmas season. Who knows? I don't know. If you like that lovey-dovey stuff, make you feel even more depressed. Fuck. Maybe that's how I feel now. Just kidding. But if you guys like the show, please let me know what your thoughts are. Follow us along if you want more like this. And please, of course, as always, we'd appreciate it if you guys give us the best rating possible so that way we can get noticed more on whatever podcast radio platform that you can. If you would like to see more of this, please follow us along or check out our other episodes for the last couple of months. And I hope that I will be recording more for you soon. This episode was fun. Happy holidays if I don't see you for the month of December. But for now, enjoy your time. And have a good day. Bye.